We are so glad you've joined Baraka Church as Pastor Jonathan Smith continues the series, All in the Family, Quarantined. We can all agree that dealing with difficult people is one of the most challenging things we face in life. If we are to reach our goals in life, we must somehow learn to make peace with these same individuals. Today, we face these hard facts about people, the trials that steal our peace, and learn how to make it.
Today we are in the third week of a four-week teaching series called All in the Family, Quarantined. And if you're just now joining us, what we're doing is we're looking at the teachings of Jesus in Matthew chapter 5 in a section that is known as the Beatitudes. It's where Jesus gave us eight different directions for those who would be blessed. And now Jesus was talking to everybody. But what we're doing for the purpose of our study, we're applying the Beatitudes to our families. Because so many homes today are not as blessed, I believe, as God would want them to be. The first week we looked at, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Last week we looked at the very powerful words, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Today, I want to talk about peace in our families, because honestly, so many of our families are not characterized as homes of peace. I hear so many say, I just want peace in the house. I want peace in my family. I want peace in my home. And today, I want to talk about peace in our families, because honestly, so many families aren't characterized by that. Instead, if you look at our families, you would have to say they're characterized by conflict or by tension or by strife. I can hear the moms out there today saying, a peaceful home would be the greatest Mother's Day gift I could ever get. And so if you're a dude and haven't got anything for mom yet or anything for the mom of your kids yet, maybe today, maybe starting today, you could just decide, today I'm going to give peace in the house. And that would be a great gift. I just believe that God has something way better for us. I just believe that He wants our families to be characterized as families of peace. Now, some of you may say, okay, you're talking to me. My family has got a lot of dysfunction in it, but most of it's not my fault. And the reality is that may be true. Because every family has an incredibly difficult family member. Every family does. If you look hard enough, if you look someplace, if you look somewhere, maybe not in your immediate home, but in your extended family, like every family has a psycho in it. A difficult person, a difficult kind of person that's just difficult to get along with. I think it's a spiritual principle, right? Let me just prove it to you. Every family has a psycho. All of you watching today, those of you who would say, somewhere in my family, there is this psycho. There's this very difficult person. I want you to hit the raised emoji sign. I want you to tell it in the comments, because I'm telling you, every family has that. Remember, every family has a psycho. And if you can't think of anyone in your family that fits that description, you're it. I mean, you're it. I mean, it's you. I mean, relationships are just difficult and they are challenging. And it's amazing, especially in our families, how easily we can slip into dysfunctional cycles in our relationship. I can remember when I was younger, much younger, just as a kid, wrestling with my brother one time at my grandmother's house. We were in the bedroom that we always stayed in. There was two twin beds in there. And I can remember we were both in one of the beds and I had him in a headlock. And I was about to throw my brother off the bed onto the ground. And so as I was about to do this, he wrapped his entire body around me and said, if I'm going off this bed, I'm bringing you with me. And so when I threw him off, he held on to me, and we both hit the ground together. And when both of us looked at each other and yelled at each other, and I said, you just hurt me. And he said, no, you hurt me. And we laughed and said, let's do it again. And we got back in, up on the bed, and it became a new game to see who could throw the other one off the bed. We ended up having fun with it, but wouldn't you admit that so often in our dysfunctional and unhealthy family dynamics, sometimes it boils down to you hurt me. No, you hurt me. Well, let's do it again and again and again. We end up in challenging relationships instead of those that are characterized by peace. Now, I don't know what it would be for you. Maybe you're trying to raise your kids and your mom keeps looking over your shoulder, trying to tell you how you should do it, giving you advice, and you're like, just stay out of this, mom. I don't need your help in this, and there's tension between you and your mom. Or maybe it's your own kids. They fight all the time, and you find yourself saying things you thought you would never say. You promised yourself you would never, ever say things that you heard your parents say. You're like, I'm not going to be like that. But then all of a sudden, the kids are fighting again, and you say things like, don't make me pull this car over. I'll pull this car over. And then you give the count to three, and nothing happens. So you give the count to five, and nothing happens. And you give the count to 40. And nothing happens, so you just take a bath and give up with your kids, and they're still fighting while you're in the bath. Maybe you are the kid. You're a teenager, and you think, my parents will never trust me, and they're always breathing down my neck. They're so controlling all the time. You might be in a blended home, and you're trying to raise your kids and her kids and our kids. And there's exes involved, and it's so incredibly complicated, and you wonder, how could there ever be peace with all these moving parts? And some of you, you might be at a place where you, like to this day, have not forgiven your mom or your dad for something that happened years and years ago. Today, we're going to look at one of the Beatitudes of Jesus. And I'm anticipating that God is going to do a lot of healing in our hearts today. This is what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 9. He said, blessed are the what? Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers. For what will they be called? For they will be called children of God. I want you to say it again. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God. Now, when Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers, there's two words from the original biblical language that's translated as peace in the Bible. In the New Testament, the Greek word is the word Eirene. In the Old Testament, the Hebrew word is shalom. And for years, the word shalom had been well known as a well-known greeting. The original words for peace mean a little more than often we think in our English language. Some of the biblical original languages don't really interpret well into our English language. So we just say peace, but the word shalom, it means more than just the absence of bad. It means more than the absence of crisis. It's with, I wish that you don't have hard times. It also means, I wish you the highest good. When Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers, he doesn't just mean, I want your family to be strife-free, but I also want you to have the highest good. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they'll be called children of God. And when Jesus said this, just like the other seven Beatitudes, everybody listening would have been in shock. These were very counter-cultural statements. Because everyone there had been raised with the mindset, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. Someone hits you, you hit them back. Someone steals from you, you take something from them. And he was saying something that was very shocking. Blessed are the peacemakers. There's a higher calling for those of you who want to follow me. Now, if you'll notice, he said, blessed are the peacemakers. He did not say, blessed are the peacekeepers. And there's a big difference between a peacemaker and a peacekeeper. The difference is in your notes, just to kind of differentiate. I'm going to tell you the difference between them. And I just need to tell you up front, like for a long time, I've been really good at peacekeeping. And you probably are too. What are peacekeepers? Peacekeepers often avoid conflict to keep the peace. Peacekeepers often avoid conflict to keep the peace. Peacekeepers, they'll work around the issues, not through the issues, trying to keep the peace. And so we kind of get to this place where we're like, oh, let's just make a truce. Let's just not talk about it. Let's get together at family dinners and we'll smile and act like we're all getting along, although we really know there's tension behind the scenes. But we're not going to show that it because we're all happy at this meal. That's what we're going to show. We're not going to show the fighting. And then what happens? You've all seen it. Months go by, and then something or somebody sets you off or sets somebody else off, and there's like this, oh, I'm sick and tired of you. You did this and this and this and this, and they just like go off. And everybody else is left wondering, like, what just happened? Well, I didn't see that coming at all. And what happened was there was dozens of unresolved issues along the way. Jesus didn't say, blessed are the peacekeepers. He said, blessed are the peacemakers. What will a peacemaker do? A peacemaker will embrace conflict to keep the peace. We're not going to work around the issues. We'll work on the issues. We'll work through them. And with the help of the Prince of Peace, who is Jesus, you believe there can be peace in your families. Which brings us to the key thought that we've been talking about in this series. If you have not watched in the previous weeks, you won't know it, but those who know it, you can say it out loud wherever you are watching this today. Our key thought is this: we're not just what? We're not just a Christian home. But we are what? We are a Christ-centered home. We're not just a Christian family, but we're a Christ-centered family. Now, some of you may be saying, what's the difference? I don't see any difference. Well, there really shouldn't be a difference, but unfortunately, in our culture today, the word Christian, at least in this country, doesn't mean what it used to mean. Some 80% or more of our culture says, oh, I'm a Christian. I mean, I'm not something else, so I must be a Christian. But you'd have to agree that 80-some odd percent of our families would not call themselves Christ-centered in the way we do life. What is a Christ-centered family? Jesus isn't just part of our life, but he is our life. We are fully devoted, following and serving and knowing and bringing glory to Jesus Christ. In a cultural Christian home, in a home that's Christian in name only, I mean, when there's a hard time, we just write somebody off. Well, we'll just screw them, forget them. We're not going to mess with them. We're going to forget all about them. Forgive them? I mean, come on. After what they did, I would never even think about forgiving them. They'd have to come back to me crawling on their hands and knees, and then I'll just make them pay for a little while. And that's normal. That's normal in our culture. In a Christ-centered home, though, we say, what does Jesus teach us about how to do relationships? And he said, blessed are the peacemakers. Paul said something interesting in Romans. As he's writing to the Romans, he says in Romans 12, 17, repay no evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. Repay no evil for evil, which is what everybody had been taught to do. He said, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. Now, here's the power statement he says in the next verse, in verse 18. If possible, so far as what? Everybody say it out loud where you're watching from today. As if possible, so far as, if possible, so far as it depends on you, what are we to do? He taught, you live peaceably with all. For those of you sitting back thinking, I hope old so-and-so is listening to this today because, bless God, they need to hear it. Like, you're missing the point. You let God speak to you so far as it depends on you. You do everything possible to live at peace. Then in verse 21, he says this, do not be overcome by evil. But instead, we're going to overcome evil with good. So if we're going to be a Christ-centered family and we're going to be peacemakers, what do peacemakers do? What do they do? Let me give you three things that they do. The first thing peacemakers do is they tell the truth in love. They tell the truth in love. Ephesians 4:15 says, rather speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ. Because we are a Christ-centered home, we will tell the truth in love. Notice it doesn't say yell the truth in love, right? I mean, you do see that, right? I mean, you always leave your clothes out here. You know that's yelling. That's not in love. We tell the truth in love. A great Bible counselor will tell you a couple of things. A couple of things I learned when I was in college studying to be a pastor. A couple of things that you may want to jot down in your notes. How do we tell the truth in love? A couple of things that are really, really important would be you tell the truth in love during non-conflict times. Like not during non-conflict times. That's when you work on important issues. In other words, if someone is throwing a shoe at you because they're angry, that's not a great time to raise another issue. We work on them during non-conflict times. The second thing that's really, really important is you attack the issue, never the person. You attack the issue, never the person. We confront the issue. We don't confront the person. Non-conflict times, and then confront the issue, not the person. I heard a great example of this, a couple who was attending a life group, and there were times when this guy's wife would talk for a while. Every life group has one of those people in the group, the person that just talks for a while. And her husband was leading the group, and he said, we need to move this on, and so he would say something. Well, he did that quite often, apparently. And the wife did something that was really, really wise. What she did not do is what is rather common, which is, would you shut your face? You think you're more important. Would you just let me speak and finish my thought? I've got something to say. That's when life group gets really awkward. She didn't do that, and anyone who's been in a life group has experienced a moment or two like that. Instead, what she did was she waited a few days. She approached her husband when things were going really, really well. And she said something like this. Listen, you're an amazing husband. And you do all these things really, really well. And I appreciate when you do this and this. And so she listed a few things. And then she said, there's one thing that you do that you probably don't even realize you're doing. Because if you did, I'm sure that you wouldn't do it, but it's really hurtful to me. She said, in our life group, when I'm speaking about something important, you'll often speak over me or you'll interrupt me. And she kept going for a while talking about it, and he interrupted her, and she said, see, just like that. That is a very effective communication because she affirmed him. She did not attack him. She gave him the benefit of the doubt. She explained very clearly how it made her feel. She said, I know you don't want to make me feel that way. It's so much more effective than in the middle of the fight bringing up, and another thing, I hate when you, and then you keep going on and on and on, and quickly it spirals downhill and out of control. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. The other thing, she didn't just keep the peace and pretend like it wasn't an issue. She didn't just let him walk all over her and not bring it up. As Christ-centered people, we tell the truth in love. We love them enough not to work around the issues, not to walk on eggshells through the issues, but we work through the issues in love. And so I want to give you a couple of little statements that might be helpful to you. In order to give you an example of what you might say, you could say something like, when you don't listen to me, when you don't listen to me, I don't feel like you value me. Like, that's a statement. That's not attacking the person. That's just making a statement. This is how I feel when you do this. When you lie to me about something really insignificant, I find it difficult to trust you. That's a statement. You're confronting the issue, not attacking the person. Not attacking the person. When you continue to check your phone at the dinner table, the rest of us feel devalued. Now, I got to pause right here for a minute because I feel like a God moment as he wants to speak to many of you right now. Like, in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, put your phones down as you're having a meal with your family in Jesus' name. I just had to get that off my chest. So what we do is we confront the issue, not the person. And we do it at non-conflict times. And we tell the truth in love. That's what we do as peacemakers. But here's the second thing. A peacemaker also apologizes when they are wrong. They apologize when they're wrong. We apologize when we're wrong. James 5:16 says, therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. I want you to think for a moment about this. What do you think your relationships would be like if, when we sinned, we confessed it? I'm talking about all of us. I'm talking about me. I'm talking about you. What would our relationships be like if, when we sinned, we confessed it? I'm sorry, what I did was wrong. I sinned against you. Will you please forgive me? And then you prayed together. How would that change your relationships around you? Can you imagine how incredibly different our relationships would be if we owned our own sins, confessed them, and then prayed together? Peacemakers apologize when they're wrong. Now, how do we do it? We admit to specific actions without excuses. We admit to specific actions. We say, here is what I did wrong, and no excuses. You don't dare say, well, I'm sorry, I looked at something that was inappropriate, but if you would have been meeting my needs, you wouldn't have had driven me to do that. That's not an apology. That's pathetic. You know, I'm sorry you got your feelings hurt, you big old baby. That's not an apology. We apologize for specifics. I'm so sorry that I belittled you in front of your friends. I have no excuse for that. That was wrong. I'm really sorry I didn't consider you. I should have called when I was late. I can see why that would have made you worry. I'm sorry I raised my voice at you like that. That was disrespectful. Please forgive me. I'm sorry that I dropped your cat off the roof to see if it would land on all four legs. I shouldn't have done that. No excuses. So anyway, there's a big difference between, and don't miss this, between remorse and repentance. There's a big difference. So often people stop with remorse. It's kind of like, well, I'm sorry I got caught. I'm sorry we're having this hard time. I'm sorry you got your feelings hurt. I'm sorry we're going through this. That's remorse. Repentance is, I was wrong, I sinned. Those are five of the hardest words we ever say in our life. I was wrong, I sinned. I'm sorry, will you forgive me? And when you sin, don't stop with I'm sorry. You may want to jot this down. I'm sorry is for mistakes. Will you forgive me is for sin. I'm sorry I left the toilet lid up. That was a mistake. Will you forgive me for deceiving you? That is a sin. Don't just stop at I'm sorry. But when you've actually sinned against someone, will you please forgive me? Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. This may be difficult, but listen. We're not just a Christian family. We're not just a culturally Christian family. We're not just Christian in name only. We are Christ-centered in all that we do. And Christ calls us not just to wish the absence of harm, but the highest good. He calls us to do something more. And so we tell the truth in love. We apologize when we're wrong. And number three, what do peacemakers do? Don't miss this. Peacemakers forgive and let go. Peacemakers forgive and let go. And let me just walk into this gently for a moment, because at this point, I know for a lot of you, there is a tremendous amount of pain. And some of you right now may be thinking, well, you know, you've got your little preacher life and your little preacher problems, but in the real world, you don't know what I've been through. You don't know the hurt. And I just want to say, I may not have been through what you've been through, but I do understand that betrayal is very difficult to forgive. I understand that. Some of you, your spouse betrayed you, committed adultery, maybe multiple times. And you think, how can I even begin to think about forgiving them? And I know that some of you, you've got someone that you trusted with everything in you, and they lied and they deceived you and left you in a really, really hard place. And that's very difficult to forgive. And you're still trying to make up for that. And you're still going through it while they seem to be doing just fine. I know that there are those of you, many of you, who you have someone in your family who should have protected you. And that person who should have protected you took advantage of you and abused you. And you say, how in the world do I forgive that? I don't even want to forgive. I don't feel like forgiven. How do I forgive? And I'm not going to tell you it's easy, but I will tell you it's doable. And it's incredibly important for a Christ-centered home. It's incredibly important for a Christ-centered person. And the Bible tells us how we do it. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 13, it says this, bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. Now, how do we forgive that which seems unforgivable? Paul said we do it this way. And if you're watching, say it out loud with me. How do we forgive each other? As the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. Let me ask you again. I want you to say it out loud. How do we forgive? As the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. I want to ask you a question. Has the Lord forgiven you of a lot of sins? Man, I don't know about you, but He's forgiven me of a lot. Has the Lord forgiven you freely, even though you did not deserve it and couldn't earn it? And that's how we're called to forgive, to freely forgive as we've been forgiven. That's what Christ-centered homes do. There are some of you that have not spoken to your parents for years. There's something that happened between you somewhere along the way, and you haven't spoken for years to your mom or to your dad or to both. There's some of you that have not spoken to a brother or a sister for a long, long time. And if you happen to run into each other at some family thing, it's just a courteous nod, or there's no deep talk. It's just a fluff hello. There are some of you who have not spoken to someone you grew up with because there's deep pain there, and you've just kind of written them off, and you're holding on to something they said or did or a rumor you heard. And I want to say one thing to you. And if you only remember one thing this whole message, I want you to remember this. I want you to listen clearly and listen carefully. Family is worth it. Family is worth it. And there are some of you that you call yourself a Christian and you're not acting like it. Family is worth it. If we're followers of Jesus, what do? When someone strikes us on one cheek, we turn the other one. When someone asks for our shirt, we give them our coat as well. What we don't do is when marriage gets tough is just walk out and say, forget you. I'll take my stuff. I'll go my way. You take your stuff. You go your way. I give up. I'm not happy right now. What we don't do is we don't write our children off and say, well, you've done this. You're no longer my child. What we don't do is we don't walk away from our in-laws and say, you're annoying. Like, of course they're annoying. That's why they're in-laws. You'll be an in-law one day too, and you'll be annoying too. We don't walk away from family. We don't cut family out. Family is worth it. We forgive as we've been forgiven. And here's the hard thing. Whether they deserve it or not. Whether they have earned it or not. And while we're at it, if we're followers of Jesus, family isn't just blood. Family is our neighbors. Family is our friends. Family is, we're going to be Christian. Family goes beyond that into the body of Christ. And when we act like Christ and we forgive, and when we act like Him and we show mercy, and when we act like Him and we make peace, we're called children of God. I've got two children I'm extremely proud of. I have a son that's graduating this year in all this mess, and then I have a daughter who's in grad school who is just finishing up her first two semesters. They both look a little bit like me, I've been told. All growing up, they were told, like, you look a little bit like your dad. I see your dad in you. We'd be out, and people would say, well, you can't deny them. Or just this past week, I was out with my son, and we were with somebody that we had never met before, and they were like, oh, I can tell that that's your son. That must be your boy. Thankfully, they look like Denise, too. But they both look a little bit like me. And guess what? When we make peace, and when we do everything possible to live at peace with everyone, and when we even take it and let someone hurt us and freely forgive them, guess who we look like? We look like our Heavenly Father, created in His image, conformed to the likeness of His Son, because blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. We aren't just a cultural Christian family. We are a Christ-centered family. Hear it and never forget it. Family is worth it. Your family is worth it. Like, some of you need to call mom today. You haven't talked to her for a while. You need to call her. Some of you need to call your dad today. And yes, it's a hard conversation. And without excuses, you're like, I'm sorry for not contacting you for however long. Don't make excuses. Forgive and let go. If we're going to call ourselves followers of Christ, we're going to honor Him by loving the way that He has loved us. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Father, we pray today that in Your presence, You would do a healing work in a way that only You can do. God, I pray that Your presence would go through the mobile devices and the TV screens and the airwaves and the internet streams. And God, I pray that You would help us to realize we need to be peacemakers. And while we're praying today, I want to ask a couple of specific questions. The first one I hope you'll say yes to is this. The question I want to ask is, if you would say, I want to be, by the power of Christ, I want to be a peacemaker for His glory. I want to wish not only the absence of bad, but I want the highest good by his power. God, make me a peacemaker. I hope everybody would raise their hand wherever they're at and say, that's me. I want to be a peacemaker. I'm going to pray for you in just a moment. I think our world needs more peacemakers. I think our churches need more peacemakers. I think our communities need more peacemakers. And so I'm going to pray for you in just a moment. But I want to be very specific right now and ask, I'm sure there are many of you that in your family there's hurt. There's been betrayal. There's brokenness. There's a relationship that needs healing. I want to acknowledge that and pray for you as well. And I know in the awkwardness of church at home, sitting around, there may be some people you even sitting with that part of that is sitting with you. And so I don't want to cause you any uncomfortability, but I just want to acknowledge that I'm praying for you as well. God, I pray today first for everyone who said, yes, I want to be a peacemaker. God, I pray that we would not be Christian in name only, but we would be fully surrendered to the truth of your Son, Jesus Christ, empowered by your Spirit to live in the blessings of your truth. Blessed are the peacemakers. God, give us the courage to tell the truth in love, to own whatever we've done wrong, and the courage to forgive the wrong that has been done to us. That which seems unforgivable, as you have forgiven us, God, I pray specifically for those who've been hurt, wounded, betrayed, abused. I pray for the misunderstandings. God, I pray that you would give us the power to do everything possible to live at peace. God, I pray for the courage for those who will reach out to someone who has not been receptive in the past. God, I pray for the ability to forgive that which seems and feels unforgivable. God, I pray for the grace to deal with difficult people as they need grace to often deal with us. God, I pray that we would have the courage to confess our sins to one another and to pray for each other that there might be healing. And what the enemy has tried to steal, God, you would make better than new. I pray for miraculous restorations. God, for those marriages that are hanging by a thread. Some that this quarantine and isolation certainly hasn't helped. God, we pray that in your presence at this moment, there would be healing as they become a Christ-centered marriage. All for your glory. God, heal parents and children relationships, siblings and extended family and friendships. We pray, God, that in your presence, your Holy Spirit would bring healing where there has been hurt. And as you keep praying today, if I asked you, are you at peace with God? Are you 100% sure? Are you settled in your heart that you're at peace with God today at this moment? Do you know beyond a shadow of a doubt, without any reserve, that you are in a right place with God? Many of you may say, I'm really not sure. You might look at your life and say, I've done a lot of things wrong. How could God ever love someone like me? I better do some good things to work my way to God. Let me be really clear with you. You have sinned, and so have I. And our sin separates us from a holy God, and there's not enough good works that any of us can do to work our way back to God. That's why the gospel is the good news that God, the ultimate peacemaker, did something for us that we were incapable of doing ourselves. He became one of us in person, in the person of his Son, Jesus, who was born of a virgin without sin, lived the perfect life, became sin for us on the cross, died in our place to pay for our sins, was raised from the dead so that anyone, and that includes you, who calls on the name of Jesus would be saved and forgiven and transformed. And I believe there are some watching this online that he wants to make you brand new. Those of you who would say, yes, I need his grace, I need his forgiveness, I want to have peace with God, today I repent, I turn from my sins, I call on the name of Jesus, I call on him, I give my life completely to you, Jesus. That's your prayer. Would you just, wherever you're at, say that to God? God, I turn my life to you. God, I ask your forgiveness. I've sinned against you. God, I want to begin a relationship with you today. I want to have peace with you. And if that's your prayer today, would you text the word Jesus to the number that's on your screen? We would love to come alongside of you. I would love to come alongside of you. Not in a weird way, not in a visit you way, but just to send you something in the mail that would help you in your relationship with Jesus, that would help you to understand the peace that only Jesus gives to you. And so if you would take a moment and text the word Jesus to that number, I would love to mail you something this week. And I would say, if we were standing face to face, congratulations, that is the best decision you could ever make. Heavenly Father, God, we thank you for those who need a Savior. God, truth is, we all need a Savior. God, I thank you for those who are giving you their life today. God, I pray that they would grow to be a Christ-centered person, that they would have a Christ-centered marriage, that they would have a Christ-centered family and home. That we wouldn't just be Christian in name, but it would mean something, that we'd be different. God, I pray that we would be peacemakers, because blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be children of God. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for joining Baraka Church today. It is our sincere hope that you are blessed with a more peaceful and enriched life. We can be found on the web at placeofblessing.org, on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, or come worship with us at 2440 U.S. Highway 23 North in Delaware, Ohio. Baraka Church, a place of blessing.